Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, Link Flores, your host. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day, wherever it is, whenever you hear this. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. Thank you for sharing the podcast. Thank you to all the new people who've been following and, supporting and whatnot. I appreciate you. This, like I said, this doesn't happen without you guys, so it is very much appreciated. It is not overlooked that you guys make this thing happen. Trust me when I say none of this is lost on me at all. So thank you for listening, for sharing it with your social media circles, your actual social circles, whatever you've done, however you've helped support the podcast. Hey, even just pushing the button and turning it on, letting it play in the background. I don't know that you're not listening, but it sure looks like you are, and that matters. That helps. Like, I am totally okay if that's the way you choose to support it. You're like, I can't listen to this guy, but I'll just turn it on in the background and wander off. That's not going to hurt my feelings at all. And even if you told me, I would be like, you know what? It still counts. I mean, you could be like, hey, I never listened to it. I just turn it on because it's not really my thing, but I want to support you. I'm like, you know what? That matters. That factors in. I dig that. And also special thanks to everybody who's still supporting on Patreon. I do have content ready. I am going to be posting it, and you will be seeing it before the first week of October is fully out. So now that you know, it's right around the corner. I just need to tighten things up a little bit here. I also have a gaming segment that I'll be posting to this core podcast. So for the Patreon folks, you'll have your own exclusive content that you'll have as a special thank you for supporting me, and like a little bit of behind the scenes stuff. We got some, I think I'm changing it from advice to opinions, because I don't know that I'm necessarily qualified to give advice per se on a lot of stuff, but I got a lot of thoughts about a lot of stuff. So I'm more than willing to give you my thoughts on your situations if you want to email me. Also, I can read your comments, your questions, and suggestions over at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. The link is in the description. And if you've seen one of my groovy little business cards around town, I love those things. I'm so stoked about how they came out. You can scan the QR code on there, and it'll take you to a little hub. You can check out the podcast and also my Twitch stream, which I usually do 4 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, at twitch.tv/linkib. I am going back into Baldur's Gate in a desperate last-ditch attempt to finish this damn game before the end of the year, and let it be at least one video game that I finish a year. I'm trying to make sure I do at least one, and hoping this could be the one. I've heard so many great things, and there's cool stuff that I want to try out in Baldur's Gate that I have not yet done. So yeah, please feel free to join me over there on Twitch, and tell a friend. I would love it if you would. If you like what you hear, share the link with somebody, somebody you work with this week, maybe has like always bugging you with their podcast stuff and like, hey, they're listening to this. Hey, like, I'll bug you with one of mine here. Give this a listen. That would be fun. All right. So thank you guys again. Like I said, it's all been moving along really well. There's lots of fun stuff coming down the pipe, and there's lots of weird stuff happening. Let's get into some news just around the internets and whatnot. I know I mentioned this maybe the last podcast or so. I know I've mentioned it before when Crunchyroll, the anime subscription streaming service, took over the libraries of not necessarily competitor, but publishing house Funimation. It was a massive takeover, and when they did that, they actually shuttered Funimation's digital library support. So what happened is some of you probably have, I think I've mentioned this before. I know I've mentioned this before. Some of you probably have music or movies that you've purchased digitally. And the real truth is that you don't actually own that content. You own a license to be able to use the content for however long those purveyors keep those servers alive and running. Once they end their support for this, you are ass out. So unless you've managed to somehow download it and save it on another hard drive or a disc format or something like that, that thing is gone like a fart in the wind once they decide to stop supporting it. Well, that's what happened to Funimation's libraries once Crunchyroll took over. Now, they had promised their customers initially, before Funimation shuttered their doors, that those folks would have access to that library in perpetuity. like as long as we are able to stay open as a company, and as long as we are able to, you know, keep the lights on, basically, you will have access to that content. And it worked out great until it didn't. And Crunchyroll was just like, nah, fuck that. We're going to shut the doors, and you want it, you could buy it all over again, which is really shitty on their part. And not only that, but Crunchyroll has also decided to move up on the prices of their subscription tiers. Now, a lot of people say, well, it's not really that big a deal. It hasn't changed much in 5 years. Fair. The interesting thing about it is the way they've done the pricing. Now, they're currently, you know, I mean, it's not like a really big deal. You can subscribe to Crunchyroll for free, and you can get a limited library of ad-supported content. It's not necessarily the simulcasts that come from Japan. It's not necessarily the most updated stuff. And it may not even be recent. You know, it may be old anime that's just backlogged from, you know, a decade or two ago. So you can get that. And it's fine, I guess, if that's what you want. But then they have subscription tiers. Their first one is called the fan tier. And it's basically their bargain value, right? It starts out at $7.99 US. And I mean, for $7-$8... that's not really that bad. That tier has not changed. What I had when I was with Crunchyroll before I watched how they did Funimation and screwed a bunch of other people over, and it really upset me personally, having been in those shoes before, was their ultimate fan tier, which was $14.99 and went up to $15.99. Not that bad, right? It's just a buck. What's a buck? That's what you say until they start doing this every 6 to 8 months, like Netflix has been doing, to the point where now Netflix is getting to an untenable rate for just the average consumer. Primarily because my wife and I use multiple devices throughout the house, and it's all basically connected to one IP address, or maybe like a series or a bank of IP addresses. We don't have to worry about Netflix's bullshit about don't share your password with people. So it's just myself and her. And then like, we have one for like when we have kids come over, like our friends who have children come over, they can watch Netflix Kids. Netflix is $23 a month. Doesn't seem like a lot at first, especially for what you get. But considering the fact that not even 2 years ago, we were just under, I think it was just under $17-$18. That means they've gone up like a dollar every 6 to 8 months. They go up like another buck. So I'm curious to see how Crunchyroll's prices are going to change. Given that, though, the mega fan tier, which is actually their mid-grade tier, is the one they went up $2 a month on. I thought that was kind of interesting because it felt like, you know, the people who were on the lower end, they didn't put the squeeze on. The people who were on the higher end, they gave them a tiny squeeze, whereas the people in the middle, who are probably the vast majority of the subscribers, that's where they leaned on them the hardest. And I'd be interested to find the numbers. I was trying to find them earlier, and I found a site that I think might actually help. And while the subscription numbers still tend to elude me, just the common parlance of the average consumer usually hits the average mid-tier subscription level. And it's not surprising that Crunchyroll probably ran the numbers on that one. It's like, well, you know, if we just move it up $2 on, you know, the bulk of our subscribers in the middle tier, we'll still make a shitload of money. And they're right, because a lot of people don't bother to check those incremental increases as they move up. Now, a $2 jump is significant when you're looking at the cost going from $10 to $12. It doesn't seem like a lot, but if you think about that, you know, I mean, that's a 20% increase. That's not insignificant. So it's definitely noticeable, but a lot of people will be like, it's still going to rationalize it. It's only $2. Now, the issue that I have with this is the way that Crunchyroll has handled the acquisition of Funimation and the subsequent, you know, just basically disregard for Funimation's policy towards its loyal subscribers, of whom Crunchyroll had the benefit of over the time when they were working out the merger. Crunchyroll had the benefit of having those people paying into their ecosystem as well. So they double fucked these people. And then at the very end, they punched them in the back of the head by taking away all their digital rights management and their digital rights to the content they purchased anyway. So While on the one hand, you could say, yeah, that's the cost of doing business. This is how the sausage is made. On the other hand, there's a portion of this conversation that should be looked at, and it isn't, is that you have an obligation to your consumers to keep them happy. If you don't do that, and so a point that I saw elocuted on social media as well, and it's kind of the rumblings under, like the undercurrent of the rumblings in the anime fan base, you know, fan community and whatnot, is if you've seen a lot in when it comes to digital content, whether it's video games, music, movies, etc. If purchase isn't ownership, then piracy isn't theft. Now, I cannot tell you that there are ways in which one can download digital content and save it to a hard drive or another digital medium and have it in perpetuity forever and ever. Amen. And I can't tell you that there are certain sites out there which will probably offer you options with which to use seeded content or peer-to-peer sharing as a way to access this content. That would be irresponsible for me to even bother to mention that those things exist in any way, shape, or form. But I do know that people can become incredibly resourceful when they're pushed into a corner or when they feel like they're being taken advantage of. That to say, I think Crunchyroll kind of shit the bed on this one, and I believe that this is going to come back to bite them really, really soon, probably in ways that they hadn't fully anticipated. Now, time will tell the tale, and obviously, like I said, it requires other people to play along. I, for one, as much as I love anime, refuse to subscribe to Crunchyroll any longer. There are certain places where I can make a stand, and then there are certain places where I can't. And this is just one of those places where I feel like it makes more sense for me to stand on this issue. And hopefully it bears some fruit. Hopefully other people will take up with it, and it would be really great to see it happen. But I can't say that it will. Who knows? There's way more important things to be upset about and to be worried about. But I mean, this is just one thing that just kind of crossed my path. And it's just because my mind goes into all these different corners of the internet. And just like, and then not just the internet, but just things that I hear, conversations I have with people, things I read in social media, things I catch from the news, stuff I hear on the radio, even passing by people in conversation, you know, they're having conversations, you're walking through a store or something like that, and you hear something, you go, what was that? I didn't hear that, did I? You go, yeah, I fucking did. That's really wild that that happened. If you wonder why this rambles around and bounces all over the place, that's why. Just a bunch of stuff that's popping through my head at any given moment. Like when I mentioned social media, I was actually thinking about this. Facebook has been doing this really fun thing I've noticed where they're executing people's accounts. I've had a couple people already that I know personally that have had their Facebook accounts basically sniped out from underneath them. No real explanation except that they're not following the rules of Facebook, but they don't provide an explanation of which rule was broken. Well, if I don't know what I've done wrong, how can I amend the behavior? You know what I mean? And the appeal process is ridiculous for Facebook. Let's just be honest. As a repeat offender and a multiple times resident of Facebook jail, I could tell you that Facebook's stupid ass robot algorithm that decides what is and isn't objectionable content needs to have its hard drive microwaved because it's completely broken and wrong. And it gets things wrong more often than not. Obviously, a robot can't tell the difference between like the subtle nuances of conversation and you can't transfer tone to text, but you can craft a sentence in such a way that people know that you're joking and realize that you don't mean what you don't actually mean the words that you're saying. You're using them for comedic effect or as a hyperbole to illustrate a point. To wit, I actually made a comment today on a friend's post where he talked about it was like a video that somebody posted, right? This guy's in a car, his friend wants a ride, friend gets in the car and then starts digging through this guy's car like it's his house. He goes, opens a glove compartment, goes in the center console, picks out something, grabs a wipe, grabs some gum, uses dude's like car cologne or whatever, hand lotion, starts playing with the CD changer. And, you know, plugs in the aux cord and whatnot. And I'm watching this video and I'm getting furious because it's not even my car. But I'm like, dude, you're all up in my shit, bro. And at one point, I stopped and commented on this video, right? And my comment was, "If as soon as he went into my glove compartment, I'm breaking both of his arms." LOL, laughing face. I'm like, I seriously don't understand who would even think to do something like that. Like, there's no way that guy would have been able to get my car. And immediately after I posted it, the Facebook robot police were like, "Are you sure you want to do that? Looks like your comment goes against our community guidelines for promoting violence." I'm like, this motherfucker really thinks I'm going to break somebody's arms just because they reached into my glove compartment? I'd be like, "Hey, fuck you doing? I need a napkin." "Oh, okay, well, ask, motherfucker. Don't just start opening shit. I don't go to your house and just start picking through your sock drawer. This is my place. This is my stuff." But a computer can't tell you, you know, can't tell the difference, because it's just ones and zeros. It doesn't have the ability to parse out, you know, humor or, you know, like I said, hyperbole, just a little bit of invective. It doesn't have that capacity. So the fact that these idiots over there at Facebook, well, you know, and or any corporation, really, think about it. The more people start to remove people from service industries and from service-based professions, the more this kind of shit's going to happen, to the point where people, like the regular populace, is going to withdraw. And corporations and entities that deal with the public are going to have to go, "What do I want? Do I want the money?" And do I want the money and the convenience? Or do I want the people that make this thing go around and the money? You can get the money and you'll have the convenience of not having to hire a bunch of workers, but over time you're going to see some diminishing returns, because people are going to get disenchanted with your project or your product. They're going to feel like you're just there to get the cash, which is true, because that's what you're doing. And you don't give a fuck about them, which is true, because you don't. I think it's going to start eating a lot of companies and whatnot, especially as we start to see McDonald's tried to do this with their AI menu. I think I mentioned this a while back on the podcast, sometime last year, I think, when this first popped up, and McDonald's is going to start putting AI menus and AI technology into their menu kiosks and stuff like that. They've already kind of killed the drive-through, and they've already killed the face-to-face interaction of walking up to the register and asking for something. So now, if you go into most McDonald's, you'll see that there is a person that will walk up to the counter. But more likely than not, they'll be like, "You need to go and touch the little screen over there and order there." Ew, you mean you think all the kids put their slobby hands on and other people got their dick beaters on? I got to stick my hands on it? No, I don't want to do this. I stopped going to McDonald's entirely. The only time I would even go there was just to get like maybe a fry or a hash brown every now and again, since I can't eat their burgers because of the buns. And I don't want to eat their food and fish or anything like that in general, because I know it's poison. But yeah, I've stopped going entirely just because I can't support that kind of thing. It just feels gross. You know what I mean? And these people, and if you've never looked at a McDonald's, have you driven past one of these things? God, they're soulless. Every one of them looks like a big gray and red box. There's no life to McDonald's anymore. They've taken all the fun and joy out of fast food. There used to be some, we knew it was garbage, right? We've always kind of known McDonald's is not good food for you to eat. But it at least used to be fun. There's some kind of whimsy about it. Nah, not anymore. Now they're packaged up like Nikes. Just slick presentation, you know, ergonomic design, and get them on you, get them in you and on you as fast as you can, right? It's gross. I mean, this is old man screaming at cloud, I guess, but still, it feels fucked up to me personally. But no, it's just weird, man. I'm seeing this kind of assassination of other people's accounts, and I'm like, I can't wait till they come for me, because I know they've got me on their list somewhere. I know it. Maybe I'm just getting paranoid because of this tropical storm. Yeah, that's right. Today is October. Wow, I'm getting ahead of myself for real. September 25th, 2024, and on this day in Florida history, a tropical storm Helene is approaching the Gulf Coast, particularly the western Gulf Coast of Florida. And it's not looking great. There's a lot of people I know that live out in that area that I'm worried about. I have family here that I'm obviously worried about, trying to convince them to, like, you know, either, if you can, shelter in place, if you have to, like, evacuate. I think we're going to be mostly okay. We have tended to be, just because the area where we're living is a little bit more landlocked and it's not as susceptible to the effects of some of the weather that can travel along waterways. Even though we're like close to a major waterway, we're not so close to the ocean and definitely not to the coast that we get a whole lot of craziness. The worst of it is usually like the rain, the wind, the occasional tornado, even though it usually falls apart before it can get close to much of anything. And the flooding, which might be the most important thing, because even the rain is one thing, you know, but when it starts to collect and the flooding actually happens, that's when it gets to be real wacky. All the wildlife comes out of the woods and starts crawling up to find dry places to hang out. And that gets real, real sketchy real fast. We're going to be careful, like checking, you know, back doors and garages and stuff like that to make sure we don't run across like some wildlife or something that managed to skitter or slither its way inside. But yeah, that's happening right now. So hopefully everything goes well. And, you know, maybe this storm will lose some steam. I keep praying that it will. It doesn't seem that it's going to. But just, you know, if you're out there, thoughts and prayers, you know, light some incense, you know, I don't know, throw some ash across the sea or something. Hopefully it'll slow things down. Yeah, it's a little weird and stuff like that. I had a bunch of stuff that I was thinking about today to talk about too. Oh, couple cool things before I get into some of the more doom and gloom kind of stuff. There's this group of gamers called the Silver Snipers. Now, this is a gaming group from Sweden. This is super cool. There are a bunch of gamers who are basically senior citizens. And they're wild, man. It's just a really cool concept. And as much as I love gaming, it's actually kind of upsetting to me that I didn't know about them sooner. Yeah, they're a gaming team from Sweden. They were sponsored by Lenovo Legion, the computer, you know, manufacturers. They ranged at the time when they first came onto the scene between the ages of 64 and 76. That was back in 2019. Here we are 5 years in the future. So some of these folks are in their 80s, but they're still gaming and it's awesome. It's just really crazy to see, like, you know, you're never too old to have a good time. And they're actually competitive gamers. Apparently they're really damn good too, which is awesome. You know, it's, you think, like, you hear these stories, right, of, like, you know, older people being, like, possessed of incredible skill sets that other people are like, where did you learn that? Yeah, and you see somebody who's, like, really great at video games and you find out that they're as old as your grandma, it'll throw you for a loop. But yeah, that's really cool news. There's some slightly sad news where we're talking about, like, elderly gamers. The adorable and wonderful Skyrim grandma. Some of you may have heard of her just in passing. Her name's Shirley Curry, and she's a YouTuber who played Skyrim, the Elder Scrolls V Skyrim, for just for her own amusement and her own enjoyment, and decided at one point she was going to stream the gameplay via the internet. And it was a sensation. She really took off. And there was there was a lot of hubbub about her, lots of great, cool, heartwarming stories. And the way that she would talk to everybody who was watching her streams was just very matronly and kind and inviting. But she has announced as of just this past week that she's giving up on streaming it anymore. She's like, she was just doing it for fun, and she says it's just not fun anymore. As much as it pains us to hear this, you know, we gotta say, like, just thanks for all the years of amazing content, and whatever it is she chooses to pursue in the future, I hope she has equally as much fun with it as she had when she first started doing the Skyrim grandma content. Just because she was adorable and she was really fun to watch and listen to, and then it's nice to see somebody who has joy for their thing, but has also managed to maintain that joy into their later years. And I think that's really cool. But she did an interview recently with PC Gamer. Like I said, she mentioned that she's like, I'm just doing it for fun and it isn't fun anymore. I'm tired of it and I'm bored to death with it. So I'm making the decision now, totally, finally. You know, she said that there's plenty of content. So if you wanted to see her videos over the years, please go back and rewatch the old stuff. But she'll make vlogs every now and again. One of the things she did say was, she's like, this is really cool. Cause like I said, she wants to do some other stuff, some projects that she's picked up along the way, or maybe some old passions that she wants to go back and pursue a little bit more ardently. She says, I'm going to start making a quilt I've been wanting to make for a very long time. I designed the squares a long time ago, so it's going to be a quilt that I've designed myself. She says, maybe Bethesda can hurry up and fulfill her request to, quote, hurry up with the Elder Scrolls 6, as she said in 2022, I want to play it before I die. That's there's if there's no other reason for us to get Elder Scrolls 6, you got to do it for Shirley. Do it for Shirley, man. She deserves it. Yeah, that was just really, I mean, it's sad news, but it's also kind of cool, happy news, because she's going to go and do some other cool shit. You know, I can't wait to see what else she gets into. She's awesome. If you get a chance, I'm going to see if I can, I'm going to link her YouTube channel in the comments of the video. So if you're curious to learn a little bit more about Shirley Curry, the Skyrim grandma, please feel free to pop on over to her channel and wish her well. All right, so that was some cool, happy stuff, right? That's not bad. And like I said, I do talk about gaming a lot, but there's a lot of cool gaming stuff that happens over the summer months into the fall, not the least of which is yesterday, actually, was the Sony Computer Entertainment's State of Play little presentation that they put on. Much like the presentation I talked about a couple of weeks ago, where they announced the really disastrous sounding PS5 Pro that's going to have no disc drive, no stand, is going to cost way more than the current version of the PS5. Sony seemed to have mixed, I think they were of two minds when it came to putting together this current State of Play presentation, and you'll see what I mean later this next week when I put out my little gaming compendium regarding not just that State of Play, but also the Tokyo Game Show, which starts tonight at 9 p.m. I think it's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard or Central Standard. I can't remember. But sometime this evening on Wednesday, September 26th, the Tokyo Game Show will get underway, and there'll be presentations that'll be live streamed. And then obviously there'll be content that you can consume at your leisure. But yeah, I'm going to be digging into that a little bit more over the week and into the weekend, putting together my thoughts and then bringing to you in podcast form as a supplemental episode of the Wandering One podcast. So keep your eyes open for that. So I'm not going to inundate you with a lot of gaming shit today, except for to say like the little bleeps and blurbs that I've already put out there, like about the Silver Snipers, about Shirley Curry, the gaming, the Skyrim grandma. And then this one, the Xbox Ambassador Program is closing down after 13 years. I think the ambassador program was an interesting way to try to foster a spirit of community amongst Xbox gamers. It didn't really work because as much as I love Xbox, I will tell you, Xbox gamers are some of the most toxic gamers out there in the world, period, comma. They're just not nice people. The Xbox players, to be fair, grew up in the kind of the ramshackle early eras of gaming. And they had no reason to be nice people. You had to kind of like stand up on your own in a hobby that traditionally gets conflated with people being nerds and geeks and weaklings and being bullied and whatnot. Man, could those people be vicious? If you were ever in a Call of Duty lobby, and they talk about this a lot, but if you're in any Call of Duty lobby or any first person shooter lobby in the early days of Xbox and especially into the Xbox 360 era, you could probably be entitled to financial compensation. Let's put it that way. Somebody definitely put you into a little bit of therapy if you were in those lobbies at any point. It didn't make for weak people, though, I would tell you that. Like, anybody who was in there had to be hard as nails. But the ambassador program was a way to try to kind of ameliorate the situation, smooth over some of the rough spots when it came to dealing with one another in the community, and to foster a spirit of gaming and goodwill amongst everybody across the Xbox platform and beyond. And it's an interesting concept that it's going to end, but I think what they were saying is basically there are other avenues by which people still can have a similar experience, be it the creation of your own gaming clan, like I've done for myself, joining the Xbox Insider program, which is another thing that I've done as well, and the benefits that are reaped from being a part of that community are pretty interesting and fairly singular in a way. But it is designed to kind of give people an inside glance of, obviously as insiders, into what Xbox has planned, what other cool content they're trying to put forward, what may and may not work. And I think that that's going to be the way that they're going to approach it going forward. But yeah, it's kind of sad that it's ending, but at the same time, it's not so bad. There's way worse things to be worried about or to be concerned with, such as this guy, Ryan Wesley Routh, who you may more famously know as the second attempted assassination, attempt at assassinating Donald Trump. At least that's what they're calling it anyway. Outside of his golf course just this past week or so. He's going to be charged with attempted assassination of a major presidential candidate. And I was reading some stuff from various news sites, and I like to aggregate my news, so I don't just get it from just one source. Kind of pick and pull at all the different ends of the political spectrum and just try to see a little bit of from every little spot along the way. Because this guy didn't actually fire a shot, strictly technically speaking, this is basically going to get boiled down to like menacing, I don't know, some kind of civil disturbance maybe, because he was holding an AK-47 and he did have some really wild ideas and things to say about Donald Trump and how he wanted him dead. But he didn't actually get a chance. Before he could do anything, Secret Service noticed him and run him off. And then when they finally caught his ass, he did surrender. So obviously he's going to jail for what he was doing or what he was thinking he was about to do. But assassination attempt, that's a bit of a stretch. See, like the other guy actually took a shot, took multiple shots. But this guy did not. And for all his rhetoric and verve, maybe he got all the way out there and was like, you know what? This is fucking crazy. This is a really stupid thing that I'm doing. I shouldn't. Oh, shit. They saw me. And then he ran. Like, he could have very well had that conversation with himself in his head. And then that's why he never got to fire a shot. Like, they were trying to get him, though. They did fire a couple shots off at him. He just booked it, which is smart. I mean, that's what you do. You get the fuck out of there, right? But I think that the idea that you're going to be able to get this guy on an attempted assassination of a major presidential candidate without him actually fired a shot or set up any traps or any shit like that. It's not that they can't do it. It's not that they won't do it. I'm sure that they're going to try their damnedest, but it is going to be a long shot. No pun intended. He's in for the fight of his life. He's going to wish he hadn't done it, but yeah, they're going to have to do some real creative bobbing and weaving to get this dude and nail him. Who knows? Maybe they'll get him. Who knows? He might be one of the most revered men in prison. I mean, for trying to get ready to take shots at Trump, they would probably respect him more if he actually got a couple shots off. But, you know, that's how criminals are. You know what I mean? I hate to say that because it sounds like I'm advocating for it, which I'm absolutely not. What people don't understand is I don't want Trump to be assassinated any more than anybody else I can think of. And I'll give you a reason why. And it's not nearly as altruistic as you might think. What I'm really worried about is if that horrible thing were to have happened, all it would do is further galvanize that really wild fringe, ultra-conservative, or, you know, fundamentalist, you know, quote-unquote Christian, because that's not how real Christians behave, or the MAGA, we call them the maggots. It'll just make them even more upset. It'll give them more fuel to the fire. I'm like, see, he was going to do something good for our country and they killed him for it. I'm like, no, he was a misogynistic, you know, hateful, abusing asshole. And he was going to continue to do more of that. And it's unfortunate that he died, but it's even more unfortunate that you can't see that he was terrible for everyone. You know what I mean? You think he gives a fuck about you. He actually told you during one of his rallies, I just need your vote. I don't care about you. Those were his words. The words he said with the hole that's in his face, that face that's supposed to resemble a mouth. Those are the things that he said to you. He said those directly to the electorate. And they're still like, that's my guy. It couldn't be me. But yeah, like, I don't want this dude to get killed, because all it's going to do is just make everybody believe even more in all the bullshit that he's been spinning this whole time. and it won't serve anybody anyway. It won't make anything better at all. One thing that is making things better, though, is I'm sorry, remember, I just froze for a second. He's a Republican governor, or at least a governor contender for North Carolina, and Uncle Ruckus stunt double Mark Robinson, who is a very interesting character. I have to admit, I do not like this guy. I hate him. I hate him just on principle, because he's a disgusting piece of shit. But also because he's a black man and he's a disgusting piece of shit in the way that he's doing it. Let me explain. So Mark Robinson, I misspoke earlier. He is a Republican, but he is the lieutenant governor of the state of North Carolina. And he is a pudgy sack of fuck who just needs to go away. But because he's gotten Trump's endorsement, and this is what people don't get. When you put your name on somebody, you got to be willing to sign off on all their bullshit. Now, here's the thing. Mark Robinson has been such a colorful character that they did a little bit of digging. And without a whole lot of effort, they did go back and find some posts linked to a couple of adult websites. The most famous or notable one that was mentioned in the news the other day called Nude Africa, where this dude goes on there and claims to be a black Nazi, which is a complete contradiction in terms, which just shows you the kind of mental midgetry that we're dealing with here, okay? Like, this is not an intellectual being that we're talking about. So I don't really feel bad roasting this dude, because he's essentially just a cockroach that learned how to speak. But then he goes on to say that he also, and there are videos of this all over the internet. If you haven't seen them by now, I'm surprised. That means you're either not watching any kind of news media at all, or you are so in like a niche portion of the internet that you never bothered to come outside. I'm surprised that you know what season it is. That this dude said that he can't wait to go back to a time when women couldn't vote. And he also kind of missed the idea. He's like, I think slavery probably was, you know, was a good thing for us. It sounded very Ron DeSantis again. Like, that's the kind of shit that I would expect from Ron DeSantis. But I see it come out of the mouth of a black man. I can't claim him. He not like us. He's really not. But the fun part about this, you know, sack of crap is that because he's got Trump's ear and he's gotten his endorsement, now people are going like, is this the future of the Republican National Convention? What would you like to say, former President Trump? What's that? Oh, did you guys hear those crickets too? Yeah, he's being real quiet about this guy right now. J.D. Vance, on the other hand, can't shut the fuck up. Anytime J.D. Vance starts talking, I just want to go and grab like, I just want to have like a little bucket of popcorn sitting next to me, because I know it's about to be some dumb shit, but it's going to be funny. And when they asked him, does he believe that Mark Robinson has said these things and that he believes these things? He's like, well, I don't not believe him. I don't believe him. He just stumbled and stuttered around. He's like, he couldn't commit to saying, hey, that is horrible. Those are horrible, awful things to say. It's a horrible, awful way to be. We can't stand for this kind of thing. He just waffled on it, basically. Like, you do what you gotta do. I'm like, what the fuck is that? That's the kind of namby-pamby guy that you want for your president, your vice president? Can't stand up for your boys? Can't put your foot down on a hard yes or a hard no? Oh, and don't get me wrong. I don't think that Democrats are even better than the other side. I just know that they're not that kind of bad. There might be some insidious shit coming down the pipe for the Democratic National Convention. I'm sure that there is. And I wouldn't be surprised to know that that's the case. One of the reasons I chose years ago to not identify as a Democrat or Republican any longer was because you could see the fallacy in that. That kind of, you know, seriously, like binary style of thinking when it comes to dealing with the lives of millions and millions of Americans and assuming that one overarching philosophy is going to apply to each and every one of us is foolish. But they still keep going for it. Got to dig your heels in somewhere, right? This is the hill that they want to die on, and they're going to die on Mark Robinson's heel real fast. I can't wait to see what other bullshit this guy says. He's comedy gold. I gotta say, the pundits and, you know, the comedians that are taking off with this guy, they're really making some great content. So keep your ears out for your favorite comedian or whatever to probably have something incisive to say about this gigantic tool bag known as Mark Keith Robinson, Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina. Yeah, that guy's a fucking nightmare. I couldn't even imagine. I'm looking at some of the pictures of him too. I'm just looking at how he dresses. And he's wearing a lot of colors that do make him look like Grimace. We were talking about McDonald's earlier. He looks like Grimace from McDonald's. And it's not nothing to do with how dark his skin is. It's the fact that this motherfucker keeps wearing like purple suits and like dark blue suits and with like weird red pinstripes and stuff. Like he kind of washes out and looks purple. Plus the fact dude is white as all outside. That don't hurt at all either. He's a nightmare. See, I was thinking about that the other day too. I'm like, I hope, and I know I need to get some decent attire at some point. One, I'm never going to get back down to like 175, 180 unless I starve myself. There's just no way it's going to happen. Not safely anyway. Like even with a severe workout regimen, just because I'm older and I put on muscle over the years, I might get down to maybe 190 healthily. Get any lower than that, which is where I'd like to be, is going to be scary. Like I'm going to look emaciated. But I need to also get some decent clothes to fit me in the meantime. And I don't know where the fuck to really go shopping. Sometimes I'm like looking at like old gear that I have that's actually worth a damn. Like I've got a couple pairs of and one sweatpants that you just can't find anymore. And I've been looking around for them. And then I go look for them online or whatever. I used to buy them in a store. You know what I mean? It's ran by Walmart. Grabbed these two pair. Had them for years. They're comfortable. They're sturdy. They haven't fallen apart on me yet. You know, drawstrings are a little raggedy, but that's because they're like 4 years old or something like that. And like, yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world. There's no holes in them. There might be like one tiny bleach stain on one of them somewhere. But other than that, they're solid, right? I was like, you know, maybe I could just get the cuffs hemmed up or something like that. Get a new drawstring put in there. Dye them a little bit. They'll be good for another year or two or whatever until I can find a decent pair. And I'm like, where the fuck do you go clothes shopping? The more I look around, especially in this area, there are so few just clothing stores. Like you go to the mall, but the mall's like largely dead for most of that stuff. There are outlet malls where you can go if you're looking for a particular brand or something. But then you know if you're going to the outlet mall, you're still going to pay out of your eyes for anything you're getting there. Generally speaking, they're a little bit cheaper because they can, you know, go direct to that particular store. So it's not going through a third party like, you know, a Kohl's or JCPenney's or whatever, or a Bell's. It's going to be straight from Carhartt or straight from Nike or straight from Adidas or whatever, right? Or, you know, whatever store you're looking for. But it just means that it's the getting there part that's killing me. Because those places are usually situated a little bit out of the way. And the closest one I know of is about a 45-minute drive from here, which is basically saying it's in the city of Jacksonville, maybe. Everything's 45-minute drive away from where we're living. But yeah, I just need to get some new clothes, dude. Looking at this dude's gear is making me sad. I'm like, fuck, man. At least he can wear a suit. My ass, I'm not even as big as this dude. I need to start losing some weight so I can put my suit back on. Lord knows, enough money we paid for it. We should be able to wear it at least two or three more times before I have to get something done to it. But that's definitely going to be one of the reasons why I'm cutting back on some shit. Maybe to go make myself some lunch here in a little bit. Actually, it's almost dinner time now. Oof, goodness. I hate when that happens. I get on a roll and I just forget about a lot of shit. Like, I forget to eat. That's so stupid. One of the dumbest things I ever do. Not as dumb as being a football fan, though. Woo! Let's do it, baby. It's Gridiron Gripes. As you guys may have recalled, I missed it last week, mainly because I was mostly just dejected at the horrible performances that were turned out by damn near everybody, with the exception of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So in week two of the NFL, this season of the NFL, brought to you by the Pittsburgh Steelers actually took out the Broncos. 13-6. It was a fairly solid game. I actually managed to catch a little bit of it. I was pretty impressed. I mean, there wasn't like a blowout or anything like that. I mean, as you could tell by the score, 13-6, not a huge wash, but it was just enough of a smacking to be like, yep, we earned that one. Meanwhile, a little closer to my home and heart, the Chicago Bears ate shit 13-19 against the Texans, which, I mean, let's be honest, I kind of expected it. I was hoping it wouldn't happen. Because you always hope against hope, right? But I couldn't, you know, most of the time I can't catch these games, especially for the Bears. And it's disappointing because I really do love watching football. I love watching my guys, even if they're not going to win. I actually got to watch some of this game, and I was just disgusted the whole way through. For a team that prides itself on defense, we weren't really doing a whole lot of it. And our offense has gotten weaker, it seems like, over the years. And I know that we got a new quarterback in there trying to run through the paces, but you got to be better than this, you know, especially when we're coming out of the preseason. You can't do this kind of, you know, the interceptions, the incomplete passes, like by the dozens, that ain't cutting it. That ain't cutting it. And it won't be long before you eventually will get cut. Or your O-line is going to let you know that they're tired of, you know, trying to protect you with you not putting any points on the board or any yards on the field, and they're going to let you get creamed. And when that happens, you're going to be on injured reserve, and then eventually they'll find a way to get you out of your contract, and you're going to be Joe didn't play no more football. So, I don't know. And the same thing's happening with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who took a shellacking in week 2, 18-13. The Cleveland Browns, baby. The Cleveland Browns of all teams to get your ass beat by. It's almost as bad as saying the Dallas Cowboys beat your ass. But the Cowboys are starting to come back a little bit, it looks like. Every now and again, they have a little glimmer of hope. And you go like, oh man, it looks like they're going to be something. Nah. It's unfortunate because, you know, they used to be a legacy team. Like, you couldn't look at the Dallas Cowboys without having a little bit of a chill run down your spine. Not anymore, though. The only chill you get is just probably from remembering that you still have, like, a old Cowboys jersey that doesn't have an actual name on it. Or maybe you were one of those fanboys that got one with your own name on it. Ew. I know the feeling because I was going to get one with my last name on it. And I'm like, I don't know. I got one for my wife and I wanted to get one for me, but I never actually got mine. Now I feel bad because she don't want to wear that shit and I don't blame her. Chicago, you're making us look bad, damn it. So let me move on forward into week 3. Chicago ate shit to the Colts, 21-16. And what I can only assume was a comedy of errors. Again, out of market. Nobody gives a fuck about the Bears, so nobody watches the games, right? Only time I really get to see them is if there's literally no other game happening or if they happen to be playing Jacksonville. Maybe Tampa? I don't think we actually would play Tampa, but still. It's the only time I ever get to see the Bears live on TV unless I'm at a bar or something like that. Because Lord knows those subscription tiers for every other fucking service on the planet are getting out of control, right? Thursday Night Football's on Amazon Prime. Also, Monday Night Football is available only through YouTube or Hulu or NFL Plus, you know. And the network games are pretty much gone. You get to see 3, maybe 4 every week. That's about it. But there's football that happens Sunday. I mean, that's just Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Thursday, there's football happening, and it's almost impossible to catch those games. It's streaming services, again, Crunchyroll, Netflix, all Amazon Prime, Hulu, all this shit is going to be the end of us. People are going to start pirating cable too again. Watch, mark my words. Anyway, moving on. The Steelers again with a win over the Chargers. They managed to catch the LA Chargers 20-10. So congrats on the Steelers. They're now currently 3-0. Just started out with a banger. Now, here's the thing. You could probably look at the Steelers' record and say, well, they haven't really played any, like, major, you know, major teams that they should be, like, you know, really psyched about winning against. The Broncos, historically speaking, aren't a shitty team. And the Chargers, they're still kind of fledgling because they've been moving around a lot. And a lot of these teams that shift cities, there comes a little bit of a paradigm shift within the team itself. So, I mean, they're not horrible, but the Falcons? They beat the Falcons at the beginning of first week, 18-10. They put a hurting on them. So, I mean, they're not a team to snooze on. Steelers might end up being pretty okay this year. I would like to watch some more games to give a better get a better beat on them, but at least the Steelers are showing up. Unlike the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yay! Yeah, I try to be positive about the Jacksonville Jaguars because so many Jacksonville fans are really shitty about them. Week to week, they're just always up the Jaguars' ass, and they can't say anything good about them and when the game started. Right up until game day, they are all, woo, Duval, all day long. As soon as they start playing, all that shit goes out the wind. Now, to be fair, the Jaguars do a lot of this themselves. And the old phrase is they learn how to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. They're really good at screwing themselves over and making themselves lose. But I really wish they weren't, because they got their asses whipped by the Buffalo Bills, 47-10. At a certain point in the game, I think I disassociated. I know I watched it. And I think like by the end of the, I think like somewhere in the fourth quarter, I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Thankfully, I'm at home and I got plenty of other shit I could be doing. I didn't pay for a ticket to watch the game. If I paid for a ticket, I'd have sat and watched the whole thing. But thankfully, I'm in my house. So when I got bored of watching them get their shit kicked in, I just got up and left. Like, you know, if I want to watch a bunch of losers, you know what I mean? I could just go and jump into a game of Destiny and get my shit beat in, you know, playing Crucible or whatever. I could watch myself lose. I don't have to watch this. At least I get some enjoyment out of playing the Crucible. I could win one or two. Like, these guys just like getting beat on. It's weird. Jacksonville's 0-3 into the season. They were 3-0 in the preseason, and they look like they really just like to get whooped. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't have been any surprise if you walked in and just saw them all strung up on a rack somewhere in, like, black leather and somebody with a cat of nine tails just spanking them after each match, because they seriously like to get that ass beat. But yeah, that's the gridiron gripes for this week. We'll see what comes into week four. Things are popping off. As again, we're coming up closer right now, just being Wednesday. We got a little bit of time right now. And then the Jaguars are going to be facing off with the Texans, who, as you might remember, just beat up on the Chicago Bears in week two. So they're going to be playing the Texans on Sunday at 1. And then Sunday also at 1, the Los Angeles Rams are going to be playing Chicago. Now, they're both 1-2 teams. I don't think that means anything at this point in the season. It doesn't sound like it's going to mean a whole lot. The Steelers are going to be playing the Indianapolis Colts on that same day. All those games at 1 o'clock p.m. I believe that's Eastern Standard Time. So I may get to see one of them. Maybe. We'll see. But keep your ears posted here for some more Gridiron Gripes when they come up next week. And yeah, I think we're almost done here for the day. You know what I was thinking about, though? Because I was just looking through my glasses and I realized I need to get a new pair. Like I said a couple weeks ago, my older... These pair are now 3.5, almost 4 years old. I've had these for a very long time. And whatever they did to these glasses, there's like a coating that they put on them, and it's starting to get pockmarks around the rims. Not on the, just on the outside edge, you know what I mean? They're not anywhere near the center. It's just enough on the outside edge that it causes enough eye strain that my old pair, my favorite pair actually, give me a what they call like a kaleidoscope migraine, where like your vision goes all rainbow bright colored, and I had to go lie down for a few hours. Well, this other pair is really close, so I was like, let's go make some appointments. Let's check out an optometrist. I need to find a primary care physician and a dentist because I need to get my teeth cleaned. You know what I mean? It's been a long enough time that I need to go and get that done. I was going through the dentist's forms, and you know what? There's one little thing that aggravates me, and I wish I'm going to give like a little pep talk to the folks who are out there in web design and whatnot. If you could, and I don't know how hard this is to do, but when a field is required to be filled in and there are multiple brackets within said field, this is so annoying. And it's just a weird little thing that annoys me to no end. Let's take something as simple as a phone number, right? Phone number, technically there should be four fields. There should be your country code, your area code, and then the number itself broken up into a block of 3 digits and a block of 4 digits. I've done this before where I started filling in the numbers And it goes, this is not a valid phone number. The whole thing lights up red. I'm like, dude, I literally pushed one button. Can I finish? Can I put, okay, so, you know, your average phone number, if you include the country code, right, is going to have 11 digits. Maybe when I get to 12, then you go, hey, man, what are you doing? But for now, let's just assume, just for the sake of argument right here, living in the United States of America, that until I get to that 11th digit, maybe this is a real phone number. And stop putting that angry red screen up on the fucking place at me. Same thing happened when I put my birthday in. I typed the first digit 0, right? Because it wasn't a, you know, double digit month. And it goes, this is not a valid birthday. I'm like, motherfucker. Like, I literally just started pushing buttons. Why are you like this? Oh my God. It's like when your little brother's in the backseat of the car, you're on a family trip, and he's like, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. It's like, I'm not touching you. And he leans real close to you. You can smell his fucking hot Cheeto breath in your ear. I'm like, get the fuck away from me. That's the feeling that I got. I was like, oh, I hate you so much. So if you're out there and you design websites or whatever, turn that shit off. Would you? Because it ain't even really changing nothing, but at least make it so that if I navigate away from the field, then you could be like, hey, you forgot to fill in the actual phone number. Or, hey, that's not going to work. Here's another thing. If you can't figure out how to keep your app from auto-backing out by clicking on a different section of the screen, you don't deserve this job. I should be able to click anywhere on the screen and either hit a field or hit a blank slate where nothing is going to be impacted by an input. Unless I hit the back arrow, just clicking on the screen should make this thing go, yeah, and then back it all the way out. I had to restart these stupid ass forms for the dentist 6 times because I tapped on a section of the screen. You know, you can tap or click. I was on mobile. Tapped on the mobile. And this is probably more for, like, you know, app designers than it is web designers. But even still, that web design still carried over because I did it on the PC site. And that's when that angry red text showed up. But on the mobile site, I just tapped on the arrow to, like, back out of a screen that they added as a pop-up. Like, I want to back out of this screen. There was no arrow, no X, or whatever to indicate you could close just that little pop-up window. Tap the back button. It was like, he's going to start all over again. I wasted an additional 10 minutes of my life just going back and refilling out forms I was already absolutely completely done with. It was so infuriating. So please, 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 please work on your fucking... You know, work on your design, because that stuff is annoying as hell. Oh my God. I just thought about that because I was looking through my glasses. I'm like, I need to get these fixed. I'm going to get these fixed. Oh, I got to go there to get these fixed. I got to fill out more paperwork. Damn it. I hate when that happens. But there is actually something cool that happened. I'm going to probably do more of these on the Patreon episodes. There's this thing I used to do on my own personal social media every now and again. Whether it's like, you know, Facebook, Instagram, MySpace, whatever the fuck. I did these things called my own dream theater, right? Where I would write down a synopsis or basically like a short story relating a dream that I had. Could have been anything, but I would just relate this story that I had in like story format, like short story. Nothing crazy, maybe like 5-6 pages. Something pretty simple to read through. And the funny thing about it is, you know, they're always kind of wild and random. Any kind of weird, bogus kind of thing can happen. And I almost never dream about people that I know in real life. But occasionally I have. And recently I had a dream about somebody that I haven't really talked to in decades. I know them and I remember them from when we were in kids in school. But if you asked me when the last time I talked to them, you know, over the phone or anything like that, I couldn't tell you. I mean, it would have had to have been back in high school, maybe. But yeah, I had this dream and this individual popped up in the dream and there's never any real context for them to be there. It's usually somebody meandering through. There might be like a brief interaction with them, but they're usually more of like a cameo than a feature, right? And so I was like, you know, a long time ago when this started happening to me, when I would dream about somebody I knew, I would just kind of ignore it. And, the first time it really impacted me was I had this dream. It bugged me that I had the dream. I'm like, what was that? That dream was really wild and weird and out there. That seemed the whole dream, this one actually was like the person was a featured part of this, and it was a real out of character interaction, just really aggressive and mean. And I'm like, they weren't really the coolest person in the world, but they weren't like this. And I let it go for months and months until I found out that like somebody told me, oh, that person, yeah, they had an accident and this, that, and the other happened to him. All kinds of bad shit had happened to him. And I was like, oh no, that's not cool. Maybe that's what that was. Maybe that was like, I don't know, whatever you, however you want to just start determine. And maybe it was God talking to me. Maybe it was like, you know, the force, you know, the universe, karma, whatever, kind of give me a little, you know, hey, go check up on this person. And so since that happened, I started doing that. Even if it took me like a couple of days to try to find somebody, track them down or get them to respond, I would just be like, I know how weird this sounds. I had a dream and you showed up. And usually when this happens, it's either like something is, there's a major thing coming around the corner. Maybe you're going through a rough time. You just need a word of encouragement. You know, maybe, you know, there's a life altering event that you're going through. Maybe you just need somebody to talk to. And so that's what I do. I reach out, and I did that. And, the one thing that's been really cool about recently is more and more when that has happened, I'm hearing more positive interactions coming from the other person. And it was really awesome because this one individual said, yeah, I was actually, we were out doing like a family thing. And we've been going through some struggles, and it's not, you know, not the not the worst thing, but it's not the best thing. So, you know, it's cool that you know, I guess the dream prompted you to say what's up. But I appreciate that. I'm like, you know, hey, man, I'll throw up a, you know, some good vibes of prayer, you know, burn some incense, whatever you think I should do. But, you know, for me, I throw a couple prayers up and, you know, hopefully things will, you know, pan out. And then I got a message later. I think I want to say it was like the next day. Maybe it was even the same day. It was just like, yeah, by the way, this situation turned around. We had this, that, and the other thing happen. It was really great. And now this is going good. And I just want to say thank you. That was really awesome. I'm like, I didn't do anything, but yay. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't me. I mean, maybe, you know, throwing up a little prayer and be like, yo, you know, God help him, you know, guide him, give him a little patience, perseverance, whatever you got to do. And that positivity just kind of bled over, and maybe it was just more of a confirmation bias on their part. This, because I mean, whatever you think about religion or faith or karma or the universe, that's not my, that's not what I'm here to debate. All I'm saying is that I thought it was really cool. However coincidental or however, you know, purposeful this might have been, that sending a positive word of encouragement to somebody just because, you know, you had a dream about them could help them out. I think it's pretty cool that that happened. And so, like I said, I don't like to leave you on like the doom and gloom part of this stuff. But I mean, you know, if you have the opportunity to offer a positive word to anybody anywhere, you should do it. But if you ever have a dream about somebody and you don't know what to do or how to say, lead with that. Be like, you know what? I had this dream. You don't have to tell them what the dream's about unless you want to. I had this dream and you popped in. And I'm going to start doing this from now. Whenever I have a dream about somebody, I'm just going to, you know, reach out and be like, hey, hope things are going well. Hope you're doing great. Keep pushing, you know, whatever. And just offer them a word of encouragement at the very least. And see how that maybe changes some of your interactions with the people that you know and people that you may have lost touch with or people that you just know on a day-to-day basis. And you're just like, hey, man, you know, I was thinking about you. We don't see each other as often or whatever. Maybe we see each other every day or whatever. But I had this dream and you popped up in it. And I just want to say, you know, I hope things are going well. And if not, maybe we could talk about it, whatever, or at least, you know, somebody's pulling for you, right? And maybe a little bit of shared positivity will go a long way and maybe turn their day around, maybe turn yours around. If you find out something like that happens, again, you know where to reach me. Over on patreon.com, you can sign up for free and follow, no problem. There's a free 7-day trial for new people. It is only $3 a month if you would like to support the podcast itself. Feel free if you'd like to. Not, no worries. But please go over there and email me, message me, let me know what you think about this idea of, you know, being, sharing a word of positivity with somebody that pops through your dreams or whatever. Or let me know what you think about Mark Robinson and the kind of hilarity that he's going to provide for me for weeks and weeks and weeks. You know, let me know what you're excited about. If you see something in the next week or so from either the Sony State of Play or the Tokyo Game Show, let me know. Tell me what your picks are for next week for football. I'd love to read about them. Hit me up at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios, and hopefully we'll get some cool emails and stuff that I can read for the podcast and some really even more insightful ones if you're looking for my opinion on your situation for the Patreon exclusive episodes. And then also, as usual, check me out over on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. You can support me over there as well. There are multiple tiers at which you can subscribe to on Twitch, or you can use Twitch Turbo, and you can watch all the Twitch streams that you can handle for one very low price. I don't necessarily advocate for Turbo, mainly because the way that they filter stuff out is kind of wonky, and they haven't... Twitch has never really bothered to really support the creators the way that they should, but if you're trying to save a buck, that might be the way to go. You can also stop in, watch the stream, cheer some bits, you know, just basically like throwing some tips my way. That's nice and stuff too. But more than that, just come in, chat, hang out, enjoy the gameplay. Going to be going back to Baldur's Gate, and we have the subscriber giveaway for the month of September. So if you do want to subscribe, you are automatically entered at your tier level. Excuse me. One second. I got to pause this here. There we go. If you are subscribed, you will be entered into this month's drawing at your tier level times two. So there are three different tiers, 1, 2, and 3. If you're subscribed at tier 2, plus you multiply that by 2, that's 4 entries automatically just for throwing some subscription money my way. The big box subscriber giveaways are the best ones. Those happen only once a quarter, which means that this is the third one for the year of 2024. And those are the ones where I put together 3 prizes for 3 lucky individuals, and they ship those off to you with love. Sometimes it's a game card, you know, if you're into gaming. Sometimes it's some tchotchkes and knickknacks, some t-shirts and other cool swag stuff. Candles have gone out, stickers, buttons, pens, you name it. I find it and I stick it into a box and I send it to you as a way of saying thanks. Do that 4 times a year with the big ones, and hopefully you'll be able to join in. And as long as you're signed up before the end of the month, which at this one, actually, this is going to be on Monday. As long as you're signed up before Monday, September 30th at noon Eastern Standard Time, you have a chance of getting yourself a cool little prize pack from me. So yeah, check me out over there at twitch.tv/linkib. In the meantime, in between time, you guys be safe, be careful out there. All of my people who are in the path of the storm, please heed your local authorities when it comes to evacuation orders. Be kind and neighborly with one another. Be patient and helpful in these times when we're going to deal with insane weather, and you know, tempers can get high, people can get frustrated, people get flustered, accidents can happen. Try to lead with grace. And hopefully I'll see you guys back here happy and whole next week. Be good or be good at it. I'm Link IB. You guys are amazing, and I will see you a little further on down the road. Peace, everyone.